Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzimatidis here. Sunday morning. What's going on in the world? There's nobody better to give us his perspective in Admiral Stavridis, who was the in charge of NATO for 4 years. And now he's vice chairman of global affairs for the Carlyle Group and chair of the Board of Trustees of the Rockefeller Foundation. So he's a man around town and one smart guy. Good morning, Admiral Stavridis. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Wonderful to hear your voice, Katz.
There's so many problems in the world. I don't know where you want to start. I mean, do you want to start in the Russian-Ukraine situation, the Pacific situation? We have problems all over. Admiral, your call.
Let's start with Ukraine, and let's, John, kind of do the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I'm going to start with the ugly. The ugly is Vladimir Putin. The ugly is the way he has unleashed war crimes, attacking and massacring civilian populations, destroying entire cities, using rape as a weapon of war. He awarded medals recently to the soldiers involved in the massacres in Bucha outside of Kiev. So that is definitely the ugly. And to compound it, he has appointed a new general, Alexander Dvornikov, who is well known to Western intelligence as the butcher of Syria, where he used these same terrible tactics against civilian population. So the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's the ugly, the war crimes of Vladimir Putin, starting with an illegal invasion of a neighbor and a democracy, Ukraine.
Mr. Putin has announced that he's going to the G20 in Indonesia in November. Does that mean he believes he's still going to be in power then?
I think he certainly believes he's going to be in power then, and I think, unfortunately for the West, he probably will be. He has immense control over the organs of state and espionage and authority within Russia itself. So, yes, I think he'll be an authority. I'm very disappointed in the government of Indonesia inviting him. And I think the United States and other members of the G20 are going to have to come together and decide whether they want to attend, whether they will walk out when Vladimir Putin walks in. There is no reason to be in a room with Vladimir Putin.
I tend to agree with you at this point. At one point, Vladimir Putin was successfully dividing NATO, having some loyalties from Germany, some loyalties from Turkey, some loyalties from France. Has NATO now come together against Russia?
Yes, very much so, John. And I, as a former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, was also somewhat worried about that because the alliance can be divided on issues. But as time has gone on and we're now over 2 months into this unwarranted attack on Ukraine, you see the entire alliance standing together. And by the way, it's not just the NATO alliance. It's democracies around the world, including Japan, South Korea, Australia. When you add up the gross domestic product, GDP, of the nations that are standing against Russia here, it's 60-70% of the world's GDP. And secondly, John, I think it's worth pointing out that more nations may join NATO as a result of this, notably Sweden and Finland, who are very capable militaries. I commanded their troops in Afghanistan, where they were partners in that NATO mission. So Vladimir Putin is creating the expansion of NATO by his unwarranted attack on a neighbor.
I've never seen before where the Russian army going into Ukraine, the amount of failures. And have you ever seen 8 generals dying like that?
In modern history, there is no situation comparable in terms of the deaths of generals. Just to make a point of comparison here, United States, in all of our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we also had 100,000, 200,000, at one point a total of 300,000 troops in combat, in all of those years, in all of those battles, not a single general lost in actual combat. Here on the Russian side, in a 2-month period, we've seen at least a dozen, if not more, Russian generals killed. So amazing incompetence. We were talking a moment ago, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ugly is war crimes. Bad is Russian military performance on the battlefield, not just their generals being killed, their inability to conduct logistics, their bad battle plans, the loss of their flagship at sea, the Moskva, sunk, probably with a loss of 90% of the crew. It's been a bad performance by the Russians thus far, John.
But it seems like Putin does have control. His relationship with China. There was a joke going around the other day. How much is China really paying him for oil? I'm sure they're not paying $100 a barrel the way the rest of the world is.
The Chinese will take advantage of this situation significantly in a couple of ways. One is they'll demand deep discounts for any hydrocarbons they decide to take from Putin. They will let his banks join their small version of the SWIFT system, which Russia's banks have all been kicked off. But the Chinese will charge for that. And frankly, don't look for the Chinese to provide any kind of assistance to the Russians that they are not compensated for in a pretty significant way. Russia is well on its way to being nothing but a junior partner to China in global affairs.
Let's shift over to the Pacific. There's so many problems there. The Chinese making deals with the Solomon Islands. They're looking at the Philippines. They're looking at Taiwan. What the heck is going on in the Pacific?
We're engaged in a significant competition with China, and we need to recognize that although we have historical, deep historical relationships with small countries like the Solomon Islands that you mentioned, population 700,000, tiny, medium-sized countries like the Philippines, or even mega powers in Asia like Japan and South Korea, we got to compete, John. We can't simply say, historically, these nations have always been with us, and they always will be. The second part of that statement just isn't correct. We are going to have to compete, and what that means is working closely with them on military-to-military exercises and training, sharing military intelligence and technology, ensuring that we have strong economic relations with trade arrangements between U.S., Japan, for example. We need better free trade arrangements throughout Asia. And then finally, diplomatically, we need to be smart about bringing together, for example, Japan, Australia, India, alongside the United States. This is called the Quad, to face growing Chinese power throughout the region. So, John, we've got work to do in Asia. We're a long way away from Asia. It's China's backyard. We got to get out there and compete.
The free world consists of maybe 2.5 billion people that are looking to the United States to keep it free versus 5.5 billion being run by dictators. They're looking towards the United States. Is the confidence level still there?
In my view, it is. And the events in Ukraine are strengthening that confidence. And a good example, John, would be the fact that here in these United States, where we are divided on so many issues and have such deep disagreements, yet the Congress is coming together to pass these extremely significant aid packages for Ukraine. They are inviting Zelensky to address joint session of Congress, where he receives a standing ovation from the most liberal members, the Nancy Pelosi's, to the most conservative members, the Lindsey Graham's. That the United States is showing real leadership in this situation. And I think that's important and powerful for us. And again, we started saying the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ugly Russian war crimes, bad Russian performance. Here's the good. Unified U.S. approach, real leadership, Europe standing together and putting the right tools in the hands of Ukrainians so they can finish the job on these Russians.
Admiral Stavridis, James Stavridis, thank you for everything you've done for our country, America, and thank you. Continue to speak out for it. And God bless you and God bless America.
God bless you and God bless this great nation, John. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much.